Welcome to the Odds Breakers, number one place for shared, sharp betting information.
Welcome back to Podcast 24 of 2024. That can only happen once. I'm your host, Kiev O'Neill. You can follow me on Twitter at OBKiev. Follow us at The Odds Breakers. Follow us on social media, / The Odds Breakers. This episode is being brought to you by BetMGM. Bet $5, get $150 in sign-up bonus. Just click on the link of this podcast description. Terms, conditions, and location apply. If you'd like to support The Odds Breakers and benefit from our premium plays, please visit theoddsbreakers.com, click shop, and become a member. Pick any for winning cappers. Get the premium plays before the line moves. You can also support us on patreon.com. And if nothing else, please visit The Odds Breakers to become a free picks and Telegram subscriber. Basketball is still hot, my friends, but baseball is on the horizon because the league starts this week, and we have some amazing info for you. Sean Kanaki's writing some great articles on some season win totals and future plays. Sean's an amazing capper, and you can get his package or mine at the Odds Breakers right now for $100 off for all of the MLB season. That's only like $300 for the season. And you can get it by using the promo code BASEBALL2024. Make sure you guys check that out. I myself had a great baseball season. Sean always has a great baseball season. You don't want to play fantasy against this guy. But I'm sure he'd also be happy to give some advice in fantasy. But use that code BASEBALL24 to get our package and $100 off for $300 all of Major League Baseball season for 2024. The Sweet 16 is here, my friends, and we have a wonderful guest in Mr. Kyle Hunter from Hunter Sports Picks to break down the Sweet 16, give us some amazing information about possibly some trends or the actual venues. Kyle always does some great work on getting venue information on how that plays to the totals, so can't wait to talk to Kyle about that. But before Kyle gets on, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about Survivor. Not sure if you're left in yours. In mine, about half or a little bit more than half the people probably dropped out. Auburn and Kentucky, BYU, some of the big upsets that's happened. Baylor, obviously, on Sunday for people trying to survive and save those big teams. But I'm still in two out of the three. I dropped Auburn in one of them early in the obviously in the contest last weekend when Auburn lost, but that was a pick three survivors type situation. So I'm happy to be where I'm at. But I want to talk a little bit about my strategy here, because you have to ask yourself, when are you going to use the top seeds? I've already used a few top seeds that I had no faith in getting to the Final Four. Now, I could be wrong about that, but you have to ask yourself, do I want to split a big pot when everybody possibly goes out in the Elite Eight or early in the Final Four? Actually, if you get to the Final Four, it's probably not going to be a big pot. Let's be honest. It could be a small pot by then. Or do you wait for the small part and get to the point where they get to the championship game? You can't. Once you get to the championship game, Survivor's over, because you had to use one of those teams, obviously, to get to the Final Four in that situation. And they both have to play. So there is no survivor when it comes to the championship game. But if you can get really late into this, then you are doing well. But here's the thing. I think some people are going to pick the UConn this week and pick the North Carolina. And, you know, hopefully that when they go through, nobody else will have something left. You know, I think that's going to happen in a few of those. I am not going to go that way, because I personally set a strategy out to try to split a little pot late. And because of that, it's going to make my Sweet 16 plays a heck of a lot harder, right? I mean, I have teams in one of them like Purdue left, Marquette, Tennessee, Creighton, Duke, NC State. That's for Friday's games. And then for Thursday's games, I have Connecticut, North Carolina, Iowa State, Illinois. Good, really looking good there. And then Clemson and Alabama. But here's the thing. These keep going down. You have 12 teams left if you're this far, because you burn four of them, right? I don't know, maybe you have an extra team because you picked one in that early that lost in the round of 32. So maybe you do. But in this situation, I have 12 teams left. Now, the big thing for me is that I have to save UConn and North Carolina at least until the Elite Eight, use one of them, and hopefully go against one of them in the Final Four, because I'm looking for an opportunity to win a small pot. You know, if I don't think it's going to get to the championship game or maybe even not to the Final Four, then I would burn a Sweet 16 number one seed like that. But I did go and pick number one seeds earlier just because I personally don't believe they're going to go to the Final Four. I wanted a more of a guarantee that I was going to be here. Some of the people that got cute and said, well, I'm going to pick a four seed with Kentucky or Auburn, a three seed or four, whatever. They had some bad luck and they're out of Survivor, you know. So for me, I was thinking to myself, well, I think that I'm going to use Arizona. I'm going to use Houston and pick. There's 4 days, right? You pick four teams. I use Purdue in one of them. I have Purdue in the other. I've got Marquette left in both, and everyone's probably going to use them against NC State. But in general, I'm going to have to get a little creative here. And since I already said that Arizona's not going to make it that far, I'm almost inclined to bet Clemson here, or to pick Clemson is what I'm trying to say. I think if Clemson beats Arizona, it still leaves me open to be able to use North Carolina next time, which would be Saturday's game, or UConn in Saturday's game, just depending upon what their opponent is. Now, obviously, North Carolina versus Clemson would be ideal rather than UConn versus Illinois or Iowa State, but we'll see. So if I use North Carolina this week, well, then I can't use him next week, right? That's going to screw me and force me into UConn, which could put me into the Final Four where I have no picks left. I already used Houston, like I said, and Arizona. So I want to keep those teams. I'm going to actually use Clemson. I think Clemson's got a shot against Arizona. You know, I really do. I think they have a shot, and I'm most likely going to lose. But I would rather risk losing this and split a small pot than win this with an easy one and either be completely out because someone played it better than me or risk splitting a big pot. So I'm doing that in both brackets because the other one I do have Purdue left in. So I'm actually not going to pick Marquette for Friday. I'm going to pick Purdue for Friday. So that way, if Marquette plays Houston, which Marquette has the easiest game, it's almost like I'm picking them anyway. I get to use them against Houston. Now, I'd rather not use them against Houston. I wish it was going to be against, a team like Duke instead. But that's probably not going to happen. Houston's the 4-point favorite. So pick your poison. Do I not save Purdue and have to pick Purdue over Tennessee? I have Tennessee in the Final Four when a lot of people don't. Or do I pick Purdue now and burn them? I think it's going to be a tough game for Purdue. But I'll pick them and burn them in this one, and I'll use Marquette in the other one. But the point is, I might not even get that far because I'm using Illinois in the other one. You know, same types of situation here. I don't want to use North Carolina. You know, I wouldn't even pick Arizona to beat Clemson necessarily, you know, if I had them available. So what good is it? You know, I have to almost pick this game as well. I'm hoping one of these get through and I have a situation where I could win. But this is my Survivor strategy, and maybe it's going to bite me, and maybe I'll hear from you guys when it does. But this is what we're going to do. Let's go Clemson. Let's go Illinois in the next round. Now, let's bring on our wonderful guest from Hunter Sports Picks, Mr. Kyle Hunter. This segment was brought to you by AG1. Why take a bunch of different things when you can just mix one scoop of powder and water once a day? Every scoop is packed with 75 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and whole food source ingredients of high quality that give me major benefits like gut and mood support, boosted energy, and even healthier looking skin, hair, and nails. If you want to take ownership of your health, try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D and five free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/oddsbreakers or click on our podcast episode description. Now I'm very excited to welcome back one of our favorite and most knowledgeable guests when it comes to handicapping college basketball, Mr. Kyle Hunter from Hunter Sports Picks. You can follow Kyle on Twitter at KyleHunterPicks. Kyle, here we are, the Sweet 16. A little bittersweet now because I'm starting to feel like basketball's ending, my man. You know, it's always a fun season, and then, you know, it's summer. How you doing?
Yeah, man, it's bittersweet for sure because I love this time of the year, but it means that there's less and less basketball games. But we're going to enjoy them because it's going to be some great games, Kiev. I think the lack of upsets some people were disappointed by, but those lack of upsets for the first couple rounds mean we're about to have some great games in the Sweet 16.
There's definitely going to be great games. You know, I still prefer someone playing an upset team like a GCU or James Madison this late in the day, but it is what it is. It's not like we can't watch them, can't enjoy them. I mean, and that's just the whole thing every year. It's like, well, complain all you want about what happened, but here we are. We're still going to watch the next games and enjoy them, but here we are. It's crazy to see so much chalk up there, but we have some stuff to talk about, and we got, obviously, some lines. So that's the important thing. What doesn't matter who's playing. Is there value in the lines? Can we find something? Maybe we can give our listeners some great information. But what are your thoughts on most of these top seeds winning this year? When last year, I think wasn't the biggest one, the UConn at number four, the highest seed by the time it got to the Final Four?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this UConn team this year has been completely dominant. Not shocking that they'd be at this point. You know, last year they probably came in underrated. This year everybody knows how good they are. You know, I mean, there were some ref shows in some of the games where there could have possibly been an upset. We saw some games go to overtime where the teams that lost in overtime would have been a big Cinderella team. So they were just so close. I think there's been, you know, a decent amount of blowouts in March Madness so far, but there's been several really good games too. The Houston-Texas A&M game ended up being completely wild. Mm-hmm. Good job by Houston to pull that one out. But, you know, in general, I think when I look at this Thursday and Friday slate, man, this is going to be some great games.
It sure will, man. And yeah, it is going to be fun to watch and can't wait to get started. But before we get started, I always like to ask you if there's any Sweet 16 trends that we can talk about.
Yeah, so I want to say from the start, obviously Sweet 16 trends are a little bit tougher than round of 64 because there's just less games. You know, the smaller amount of games you get, the harder it is to feel really strongly about data because the sample size is just that much smaller. But a couple trends here for the Sweet 16 that I think people would think are pretty interesting. I'm going to start with the totals one because I think this is a stronger trend of the two. Games with a spread of 6 points or more, so 6 points or larger spread, 33 and 18 to the under in the Sweet 16 since 2006. So we're looking at games. We have several of those on the ones that we're going to talk about, Kiev. So, you know, there are several games here that fit. Games with a 6 point spread or larger, 33 and 18 to the under. The margins are pretty good too. So I think this is one that I would keep an eye on going forward as a decent angle because it's not been one that's just kind of squeaked by. There've been some decent winners on this. I think that makes sense, you know, Kiev, because, you know, the games with the smaller margins are more likely to be foul fest. They're more likely to be overtime type games where if somebody's winning by a decent amount, as they're predicted to, you know, those teams are more likely to let up in the last few minutes. Some of those hold it for a shot clock violation type situation. So I think that one makes sense. Let me go ahead and say the ATS one too. Teams covering 51% or lower against teams covering 51% or higher of their games this season. So this is, to this point in the season, what percentage of the games have they covered? You're looking to bet on the team that has covered fewer of their games rather than more, because the team that's covered more is usually a bit overrated in the marketplace. Taking the team with a lower ATS win percentage is 44 and 29 against the spread in the Sweet 16. This one is pretty close on the margins, Kiev. So I'm a bit hesitant to think that this one is a really strong trend because unlike the totals one where the average margin was in the 4 or 5 point range, this one's about 1 or 1.5. So I don't know how strong the angle is, but there've been a lot of close ones. I do think in general, you have to be careful taking teams that are covering 75-80% of their games, because at this point, you're probably paying the tax on them.
Yeah, you're right. You probably are paying the tax for sure. I totally see the unders one because, yeah, I mean, UConn would go up by 20, you know, 23, 6 minutes left, start running the clock down right at 6 minutes, you know, start getting, get out of there, get healthy. You got a game in a day and a half, you know. It's makes total sense to me for those bigger favorites to do that. So I'm going to be kind of think about that a little bit. Clemson versus Arizona is one that you can possibly key on in that. Definitely the UConn one. You know, you see 136, you're like, well, UConn can score that themselves. No, they might not want to. That might be too high for them, you know. So that's great information. But what you also have great information in is the venues. I mean, you always like to check out where these are coming through. If you get a totals that are high percentage or totals that are going under, that's definitely something I want to hear about. So let's start with the American Airlines Center in Dallas, Texas. NC State versus Marquette with a total of 150 and Duke versus Houston with a total of 134. Anything to this venue?
So I will say this one was the toughest one when I was looking up venues, because I'm pulling these queries from Bet Labs. Their data is a little bit unclear because they've tagged something American Airlines Arena and American Airlines Center, and it looks like they've kind of tagged both together at times. So it's 13 unders and 7 overs. But this is not one that I trust a lot because the data is not terribly clear and the point margin is pretty close here. So,
well, has Sweet 16 games been played, or NCAA tournament games been played in the arena one in Florida?
I'll have to look at that one as far as when the games were played, but okay. You know, that was just that's the total amount of games played there since 2006. So we haven't played very many games there in general. And like I said, the data is not terribly clear. This is not one I'd want to just place a bet. This isn't Madison Square Garden, Kiev. It's not, you know, Enterprise Center in St. Louis or anything like that.
Sure, sure. Absolutely. Okay, well, that's interesting. So more towards the under, though, if it's correct. It's 13 under, 7 overs. Let's talk about TD Garden. And this is in Boston, Massachusetts, obviously, where UConn's going to play. San Diego State versus UConn, total 136. And Illinois versus Iowa State, total 146.5. What's going on with the TD Gardens?
Okay, so only 9 games there. 8 have gone over, Kiev. 8 overs, 1 under. They're fairly close to the margin. So, you know, I don't think that there's terribly a lot of places that, you know, just in that gym, you're just going to get overs like crazy unless the rims are really kind or something. You know, you have soft rims to where it's easy to get a shot to go in. However, it's clear that this is not a building where people are just going to struggle to shoot. So if you're wanting to take an over, this is probably a pretty good place for the game to be played, because if you're 8-1 to the over, this is not one of those Madison Square Garden setups, that's for sure.
Yeah, it feels like the sample size isn't big, but when it's 8-1, it kind of is. If it was 6-3 or 5-4, I'd be like, it's not big of a sample size. But 8-1, you're kind of getting to the point where there's something possibly there. So that's the way I'm looking at it. How about Little Caesars in Detroit, Michigan? We're looking at Creighton versus Tennessee with a total of 143.5 and Gonzaga versus Purdue with a total of 154.5.
All right, 12 and 12 here, overs and unders, and they're almost exactly tied. Yeah, so this is as neutral as you can get. I see nothing that makes me think this is going to be an under arena, nothing that makes me think this is going to be an over arena. The handicap is just as neutral as you can get here.
All right, neutral on Little Caesars. And finally, the Crypto Arena, formerly Staples Center. I don't like calling it the new one. I like calling it the old one, Staples Center, out in L.A., and we have Clemson versus Arizona, the total of 152, and Alabama versus North Carolina with a total of 173.5.
So this is the best one of the four. 19 unders, 10 overs, pretty big margins to the under. I think this one is an under arena. It's a very big arena, obviously. I'd still like to call it Staples Center, too. I mean, that makes more sense to me. But I think it's interesting, the two games that are being played there, Kiev, and we can talk about that when we get into games, because those aren't games that you would immediately say, I really want to bet the under in this game. But, you know, at least make you hesitate to bet an over when you see those kind of numbers.
I mean, both were over 150. That's interesting. So sure. Yeah, I think I might have something for you on this one when we get to it, my friend. But well, let's do it. Let's bust into these games then. And I'll share my screen here a bit so we can see the odds. Starting with Thursday, the very first game, Clemson versus Arizona. So here we are. Clemson versus Arizona in the Crypto Arena, Staples Center. I got a spread of 7.5. It's at 7 in some books. The total is 151.5. So when I wrote down 152, it looks like it wasn't quite there yet. So it actually went down is what I'm trying to say. So that's okay. What are your thoughts on this one?
All right. So this one, Tommy Lloyd is now 1-5 against the spread in the NCAA tournament. His one cover last week by half a point or a point against Dayton. I had Dayton as a bet of mine, and that was a frustrating loss, I'll tell you that. I did do well for the first week of March Madness, so happy with the results overall, but that one was a frustrating loss. Let's say this too. Arizona playing in LA, this is not a neutral court. This is going to be like a really good home court advantage for Arizona. Long ways from home for Clemson. I think my problem with Arizona, Kiev, is that Caleb Love is going to take a ton of shots. You know, is he going to make those shots or is he going to miss those shots? Because he's still going to take those shots even if he's cold. He's shooting 34% from three this year. Larson, Johnson, Ballow, much more efficient when you look at offensive efficiency numbers, but those guys don't get the ball as much as Caleb Love. You know, Caleb Love in some of these games is almost kind of shooting them out of the game. And of course, he can take over a game and win a game for them, but it can go either way. I don't love that about them because they're so reliant on him. I didn't expect Clemson to be here, I'll be honest. You know, I didn't think that they'd be in the Sweet 16. PJ Hall is a great player. Hunter playing really well. Arizona, 285th in the country in post-up defense, according to shot quality, which I think is really interesting because Clemson does go down to the post a lot. PJ Hall, good, has good low post moves. Ballow is strong, but he's not really quick, and he's not that great of a shot blocker. Arizona also 189th in open three rate allowed. On the other side, Clemson, their transition defense is 310th. And the nation, Kiev. I mean, that's a problem against Arizona. I sit here, I want to bet the under because I see the numbers on Staples Center or crypto.com. This is a game, though, where if I had to bet this game, I think I would bet Clemson plus the points. I don't trust Arizona laying a fairly big number, and I think that Clemson will at least be feisty here.
Yeah, I think you said when you said transition defense, that was the one that worries me the most in this situation, even though I do like Clemson and I liked them at 7. And in 7.5, obviously, even better. This is a situation where, like you said, Tommy Lloyd, very terrible at covering the spread, finally just got one. And can you barely, I barely even call that a cover because I'm sure people got better numbers than that, right? That, you know, people played Dayton. They did, and they should, in my opinion. So, you know, looking at Haslametrics, looking at Clemson here, and they don't have a ton of offensive advantages, but neither does Arizona. Arizona doesn't have a three-point advantage because Clemson stops the three, and Clemson's great inside, really good near-proximity team. Both teams are very great rebounding teams, so there's going to be a battle there. But I also think, look at how Clemson beat Baylor. I feel like Arizona is somewhat of a Baylor-esque team. They can run the floor. They obviously run it faster than Baylor, but they also have really bad shooting spells sometimes, and they will not hit shots. I've seen that with Arizona a couple times, especially those games where they played Washington State. You're kind of scratching your head. What the heck happened? Well, the reason Clemson's here, Kyle, is because that defense has really, really stood up lately. And, man, the ACC is on a tear this year. You know, Clemson, I think, is going to be able to stand up to Arizona here. And Arizona, away from home, they rank 349th. That is pretty bad when you're looking at an away-from-home metric here. Clemson's not great away from home, but they're not bad either. They're kind of in the middle here. I think this is too many points in this game, and I think Clemson has a shot to win this one outright. And they're finally gelling as a team, Kyle, so I'm taking the 7 points on this one.
Yeah, don't blame you. That's definitely my lean, too.
Let's move on to the next game. And we have San Diego State at UConn. This was like 9.5, 10, Kyle. Now it's 11, total, well, down a little bit more, 135.5. What do you got for this one being played at TD Garden?
Yeah, Kiev, I'm going to be quicker on this one because I don't have any really strong opinions on the side, especially. I mean, what are you supposed to do with a spread that wide? San Diego State's going to be plenty motivated for this game. I mean, it's the NCAA tournament. It's a rematch of last year's title game. They were beaten pretty badly in that game. I think UConn is playing better than they were last year. And, you know, for UConn as a team to lose here, I kind of think somebody has to make threes against them. I mean, because who's going to go down in the post and put up shots over Klingon and have success down there in the paint? I don't think too many people will. Now, Jaden Ledee is a really good offensive player. He's been pounding around down there, scoring a lot. I think that's going to be a fun matchup down there. I don't know that it's a formula for success against UConn long term. And I think that San Diego State would be wise to try to slow the pace in this game, make this be a lower scoring game. I lean to the under here. This is one of the games that meets the under system mentioned at the beginning with the wider spread. I don't want to bet the side, but I do lean under.
Without a doubt, man. I lean under too. And you know what? I him and hawed about this one. I thought about getting cute about it, but the truth is I just kind of fell back to this. I don't want to mess with UConn. San Diego State's the kind of team that will try to foul all the way to the end too. And that under that you had that was looking so good could be over. Maybe a first half under would be an okay look here. I think yeah. San Diego State shot out of their minds when they beat Yale, and they're normally a bad shooting team. And now they happen to hit some shots. I mean, they only rank 107th in field goal percentage, and they go on really bad droughts themselves of not scoring. But this is UConn, you know, number two in field goal percentage, number three in near proximity, right? They shoot the three sometimes. They didn't hit a lot of threes last time against Northwestern, and they're still a double-digit lead over Northwestern. But UConn, it's like, what was that against Northwestern? I laid 14 with UConn on Sunday, and I was like, man, this is easy. And then all of a sudden, I'm looking with like a minute left. I'm like, whoa, 16 points? I was like, oh my God, I'm in trouble on this one. And this is obviously when Houston's teetering with Texas A&M hanging around the 10. I got 10.5. It closed at 8.5. And I'm like, oh my God. So I had a very interesting end of my Sunday, but they both came through for me at least. So I was thankful for that. But I don't want to mess with UConn. Just the low total in itself makes me look towards the dog. But I agree with you. I can understand San Diego State D'ing them up and getting to cling in a little bit with Ledee down there, scoring a few points, but I don't want to mess with them. Let's move on to the next game. We have Alabama versus North Carolina. North Carolina is -4. Total is that big 173.5 at the Staples Center. Kyle, you have the floor.
All right, so I was hoping Alabama's lower scoring game against Grand Canyon would bring the total down. That was before I realized, number one, what the venue they were going to play at. Number two, they bring out 173.5 for a total. Kiev, the odds makers are sharp. They weren't going to hang some 165 or 166. This game's going to be ridiculous pace. You know, when have you ever seen North Carolina slow a game down? I don't think they're going to slow a game down. Alabama runs even faster than they do. And North Carolina, 294th in open three rate allowed, according to Shot Quality. We know Alabama's going to take a ton of threes. That's going to happen for sure. UNC really good on the boards. I think they'll get a lot of second chances. This is an Alabama team that's been inconsistent on the defensive rebounding. And the defensive difference here in these two teams is really drastic. UNC is 7th in the country in shot selection allowed. Alabama's 173rd. I think Alabama kind of looked good on defense in the second half against Grand Canyon, but that's because Grand Canyon really doesn't run an offense. It was just isolation ball.
It was insane.
That game made no sense.
I was very disappointed with them in the second half. It's just like just guys just going one-on-one, and then they'll pass off, but then the next guy goes in. It wasn't even much for pick and rolls, which is one of the more basic things. I could not believe how poorly that the assists were on Grand Canyon's side, but go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I think Grand Canyon, the opportunity was there for them. They didn't take it, but they definitely had an opportunity. They're a talented team, but they weren't really running an offense there. UNC will run an offense. I think UNC was the weakest of the one seeds, but I also think Alabama has plenty of flaws as a team. I think UNC wins. Lean UNC if I had to bet a side here, I think. But this being the best under venue, I guess I could understand people betting the under. But Kiev, I'm going to pass. I don't want to bet an under here on Alabama, North Carolina.
I don't want to bet the full game over, under, but I mean, doesn't the Staples Center, didn't you say, has 19 unders and 10 overs, I think?
Yeah, and they're pretty good margin. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that's to the under. And, you know, I think the first half under I looked at, 83. And I don't trust the full game over, but full game under. I don't want to bet an under on a full game with these two types of teams, but I think they could start out a little rocky. You know what's really weird to see with North Carolina is this number here. Number 10th in adjusted defense? Where the heck did that come from, North Carolina? You know, it's like they're never playing like that, man. And now you see them D'ing up some teams. You know, you got to give a lot of credit to Hubie there. You know, it's like they became a defensive focus. And they still have an offense there. But that's where Alabama struggles is their haphazard play. Mm-hmm. They're throwing the ball all over. They're kind of – they don't care about if they turn it over, and they will turn it over. And I think UNC is going to bait them into it, you know. UNC can stop Bama. They're going to throw up a lot of threes. They're going to try to rebound the ball. But they're not going to rebound the ball against like they did with Grand Canyon because North Carolina is going to get most of those rebounds. You know, North Carolina is number 27th in second chance shot opportunities. That's going to go well. And you can see North Carolina's got the green on the second chance opportunities against Alabama. All stuff that Alabama really needed when they played Grand Canyon. So I understand the four. Do I want to lay four with North Carolina? I don't know. Not really. I did think that Bama did play a pretty good game. I mean, for being down anyway, Sears is just such a good player over there. I think that you could see this kind of coming down to the end a little bit where it's, you know, North Carolina's got a 3-point lead and they do something boneheaded mistake and, you know, Alabama kind of gets back into it. I'm going to pair them with another team. I'll get to that team a little bit later, but I'm going to use a money line play on Alabama for now. Let's move to the next game. And we have last game on Thursday, Illinois versus Iowa State. Iowa State -1.5. Total is 146. Kyle, I'll go first if that's okay on this one because I have a play. I might have two plays. But when we talked on Sunday night or Monday, whatever, on the venue here, this kind of helped push me towards this play. You know, this venue, small sample size at TD Garden, but 8 overs and 1 under. And then I look at Illinois, and I know Iowa State's defense is probably only second to Houston's, right? They've been an amazing defense, but I've also seen Iowa State pace it up in the past. You know, if you look at just the KenPom numbers, their average possession length is above the median at 153rd, you know. So they play faster, but their defense just locks people down here. And they've been able to do that in a very easy non-conference. And then a little bit in the Big 12. But they've given up their points in the Big 12. BYU scoring 87. Houston scoring 73. And Illinois is the number one offense, man. Out of pretty much every single team. They're number one in KenPom offensive efficiency. They're an amazing shooting team. They can do it from all over the place. And they have a guy named Terrence Shannon that I know he's in legal trouble and everything, but this dude, I've watched him play enough in the Big Ten to think that, man, this guy is going to be a lottery pick, Kyle. And he is going to be a star, I think. He is this team. He leads this team. And he missed a lot of games earlier. I think Illinois' numbers would be better, too, if he didn't miss about, what, 6 or 7 games kind of in the beginning of Big Ten season. But when he got his feet wet a little bit back, you know, this team was running through people. They had an amazing finish here. And they have some really good role players. Really good role player. I like Dane Danger coming off the bench. He is a fantastic center, like, slash, just kind of a hack guy down there. But he also can hit some shots himself. Damask is amazing. Coleman Hawkins, whenever you need a point, this dude's like a stretch four, and he's out there making amazing shots out there. They don't play a ton of defense, and that's why I think Iowa State's going to get a bunch of points too. I think Illinois upsets them. I think Illinois is the better team and wins this game, but I like the over, and I took it over 145.5. My number's about 150.5, 151. I think it gets there, but I'm going to see what your thoughts are.
So I think Iowa State's offense can kind of go through scoring droughts at time, and then also they'll hit those spurts where they score quite a few points. Their defense is really good at forcing turnovers. Illinois is 53rd in turnover percentage on offense. The question I have here, Kiev, have they seen any kind of defense like this? I mean, I think they will turn the ball over a decent amount against Iowa State. Iowa State's going to win the turnover battle in this game. Now, Illinois funneling people to the mid-range jumper. Usually mid-range jumpers are kind of low-quality shots. Iowa State's really good at mid-range if you look at the efficiency numbers. So I think Iowa State can score points here too. The weakness of the Iowa State defense is defensive rebounding. Danger is a good guy to bring up here. I think he plays quite a bit in this game. I think he gets a lot of offensive rebounds, gets a lot of second chances. I lean to the over here too, Kiev. I haven't bet this one. It feels wrong to take an Iowa State over at this high of a number because yeah. You know how good that defense is. But look at Illinois' efficiencies over the last month. Their offensive efficiency is just off the chart. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're pretty far above anybody else. So I think they're going to score points. I think it's going to be a close game. I think I would just slightly lean to Iowa State on the side. I'm not going to bet the side, though. And I do lean to the over, thinking that you know, this is a game that gets to, you know, the low 150s or something.
Yeah, for sure. In Illinois, 26 and 10, the fourth best over team, and their margins plus 8.2. I think this would have been higher if Terrence Shannon was playing for the whole season, kind of like I mentioned a little bit earlier as well. Okay. So I'll have disagreement with you on the side, because I think Illinois does win this game. You think Iowa State, but it looks like we both kind of lean or like the over. I actually am a to a like on the over. What's really interesting to me too is Iowa State, when you look at their adjusted for strength of schedule stuff on offense, it's high. You know, they're all green here, and Illinois is not a good defense. You know, they play defense sometimes when they have to, but Illinois just being such a great offense, and of course Iowa State's defense was going to show a lot of green here, but Illinois number 8 in field goal percentage, number 1 in adjusted efficiency, going against the number 2 adjusted efficiency team. I just see points and more points and more points, and maybe you leave it to your guard, Shannon, to make the final shot like he does all the time to win that game. So that's where I'm thinking here. But this is going to be, I think this might be the best game out of all of Thursday, Kyle. So I'm excited for it. Let's move on to Friday. We have North Carolina State versus Marquette. Marquette minus 6.5. Total is at 151. And this is going to be played at the American Airlines. What are your thoughts on it?
You know, Oakland NC State was a really fun game. NC State's really been a great story at the end of the season. DJ Burns talked about a lot. And Kiev, people talk about him and they see how big he is. And people are like, oh, look at this big guy out there on the court. It's not just kind of a fad. Like, he's really good. The guy is excellent at basketball. Mm-hmm. Very talented. Fun to watch for sure. Marquette, I think they're a completely different team with Tyler Kolick healthy. I mean, Kolick is better than most people think he is. To me, he's one of the best players in the country, probably the best passer in the country. He's getting to his left hand. He's going to the hoop. He's either kicking it out for an open three or he's scoring himself. I think the Golden Eagles' offensive efficiency numbers are skewed a bit because he missed so much time for the last month or so. He looked very good in that Colorado game. I thought Colorado made some tough shots, played very well. Marquette was still able to outlast them, though, because their offense was so good. To me, NC State doesn't stop them enough in a game like this. NC State's chance for success on offense, I think, is the pick and roll. If you look at Marquette, Marquette's 310th in the country in pick and roll ball screen defense. So I think NC State needs to go to that a lot. In a game like this, they do have the people, the personnel that you would think they would. I lean to the over in this game. I think Marquette team total over is my favorite bet here in this game, Kiev.
The total is what, 150 still?
Yeah,
150. I almost bet this over. So interesting that you also lean to it. It's one of those I was a little bit on the fence for because not a lot of, you know, the venue says 13 unders, but we're not sure. And there is a situation where I can just see a lot of D and just NC State not showing up. So there's a couple things. I like Marquette as the second leg to my parlay. And if you take this parlay, I think I got it at plus 107. So you're actually getting plus money on North Carolina and Marquette here to advance. So that's where I like that. But I think the spreading is close to where I make it. I make it 7.5 and it's 6.5. Not really enough meat on the bone for me to take a spread bet, but you know, just pairing them with the parlay, I felt okay with. You're right, and you nailed it when you said Tyler Kolek being out for all that time. He was out for both UConn games at the end of the season, end of February into March. So I think that's a great point. But not only that, you know, this Marquette team actually defends, you know, better than people think. I was looking at some of the numbers, and from down low, they actually rank in the top 12 in defending near proximity. And I'll share my screen on Haslametrics. They're 12th in near proximity. So that's where DJ Burns is going to be trying to play. Well, if they can stop him and get some rebounds, you know, Marquette has a good shot of not only being in this game, but winning this game. But if you look at everything else, from three-point percentage, mid-range, near proximity, I mean, it is all green here. Now, I will say NC State's the better team than they were. They're better than they were, but now they're facing a Marquette team that knew that they were better than they were, needed their guy back. I don't love Shaka Smart either in the tournament, Kyle. He's just another one of those coaches that you're a little careful for. So that's why I'm not taking the spread as well. But I cannot deny that Marquette has some size down there to defend. They have a couple 6'8", 6'11 guys that should be able to slow down DJ Burns. But I also tweeted out, Kyle, that DJ Burns might be the funnest guy that I've watched in the tournament so far this year.
Oh, absolutely.
Him and Golkey, probably, I would say. So yeah. That's been absolutely fantastic. Let's move on to the next game. So that parlay will pay 106, North Carolina Marquette. Let's move on to Gonzaga versus Purdue. This was 4.5, Kyle, early, and then Purdue got hit. And I was kind of looking at it, and I was like, man, I make this a 5. Can I get there with Purdue? I'm like, is there a 4? I'm looking, and then it goes to 5.5, and I'm out of the game, Kyle. But maybe you got something better for me than I do.
You know, I looked at this game a long time, Kiev. This is one that I've really broken down and pretty in-depth. Gonzaga has been top 3 in the country in offensive efficiency for the last month. I have to say, I mean, we both knew Mark Few was a good coach. But this is one of the best examples of Mark Few being a really good coach that I've ever seen, because 2 or 3 months ago, Gonzaga wasn't very good. You know, frankly, they were a bubble team, whether they would even make it. And now they've turned into a very good team. The way they're playing lately, really impressive. Gonzaga has to push the pace hard here. They have no chance if they want to play some slow half-court style game. They don't want to let Edie get back. Kiev, Purdue is 267th in the country in transition defense. Now, there's not many teams in the Big Ten that try to play really fast. They're going to play a team that wants to play really fast here. They don't want to let Edie get back and get set. Why would you want to? I think Gonzaga is going to play really quick here, maybe a pace war type game, because I don't think Purdue wants to play a track meet here. Gonzaga, EK is really talented, big, obviously not near as big as Edie, but he's good on the offensive glass, has a nice hook shot in deep. I think he can have some success there. Gonzaga is 236th in open three rate allowed this year. Purdue's second in the nation in three-point percentage. So I think Purdue's guards, if they keep hitting shots the way they have so far this year, this is a potential for a big game for some of those guys. They got quite a few pretty good shooters on this Purdue team. I think that does make them different than last year. You know, it could be Braden Smith. It could be Fletcher Lawyer, who's like 45% from three-point range. Lance Jones has been a nice addition. I think Purdue can score plenty of points here, be very efficient. I think the spread's about right. At 4.5, I might have leaned Purdue. 5.5 is too much for me to take Purdue, frankly. I think the over is my strongest lean in this game. If I have to bet it, I'm going to bet the over, thinking both teams have pretty big offensive advantages, Gonzaga in transition and Purdue in the half court.
No disagreement here. The over would be the only go for me. And like I said, I'm staying away from this one. It's just too much variance with Zach Edey and how he's officiated. Duke versus Houston. Houston -4, total 134. Anything in this one, Kyle?
You know, I don't have a lot in this one. This is a Houston team that I've really liked all year. I love to watch them play. Jamal Shedd's a fantastic leader. The way he kind of took over there in overtime was really impressive. Houston's away from home rating kind of concerns me, though. You know, they haven't played great away from home. Duke has played really well away from home. I think Houston's best effort is definitely better than Duke's best effort, but Houston's been a little inconsistent. I mean, we've seen them look really good. We've seen them look pretty mediocre. And how the refs call this game, Kiev, is going to be really important to this game. I mean, Houston can foul out nearly everybody if they're getting called for their physicality. If they're being allowed to be very physical, Houston will win, and they'll cover the spread here. If they're getting called for fouls really quickly, Duke could pull an upset here. I lean to the under, but without knowing what the ref crew will look like, I'm going to pass on this game.
Yeah, I mean, I think Texas A&M had 25 of 47 free throws hit. 47 free throw shots is a heck of a lot, and Duke's going to hit a lot more than 25 out of 47 if that happens again. I mean, it's funny. It's like we're basing our handicap on how this game's going to be called, but that's kind of like how we had to do Houston throughout the whole year. It sucks to have to do that, but I agree with you. I just think Shedd is a difference changer. And why I don't like Duke, I'll tell you why I don't like Duke, because I think that you can get to Filipowski. When they play those rough you up type defenses like Houston really is in your face, they tend to crawl into their shell a little bit. I thought James Madison was going to do that until their best player was in foul trouble after 90 seconds in the game that pretty much took James Madison completely out of the game. So, you know, hopefully you don't see something like that on Shedd. I want to see these two teams play it out, but I also will lean to the under in this situation too, because I think it's just going to be so hard to score in this game. Let's move on to the final game. We have Creighton versus Tennessee. Creighton minus -3, total 144. This could be the best game of Friday night. What do you got, Kyle?
Yeah, Tennessee minus -3. I think you said Creighton. I know you meant Tennessee,
yep, Tennessee minus -3. Correct.
Tennessee minus -3. Kiev, I have to start. Rick Barnes is 5-19 against the spread in his last 24 NCAA tournament games. I'm obligated to say that for sure.
You certainly are.
He's 3-19 against the spread when he's not favored by 17 points or more. So they've kind of beaten up on the teams like St. Peter's and one of the other lowly seeded teams. In competitive games, Tennessee's not been good against the spread in the NCAA tournament. I don't dislike Rick Barnes. I think he seems like a nice guy and overall a pretty good coach. But when you get to the end of the year in the NCAA tournament, he's not been very good. I do think this Tennessee is the best team he's had at Tennessee. This is the best version. But I can't lay 3 points against Creighton, a team that's the eighth most experienced team in the country. Creighton came 1 point short of reaching the Final Four last year. They're first in the nation in defending without fouling. Tennessee's offense is inconsistent. We saw the other day, if Texas could have made a shot, Tennessee would have lost the other day.
Right.
I mean, Tennessee was really bad offensively. Obviously, Tennessee's defense is great. We know that. They try very hard defensively. But I don't like the way Tennessee has trended here of late. They've lost two of their last four games. They were fortunate to hold on against Texas. They are not playing their best at the end of the season. Certainly Creighton off a scare as well against Oregon. But a Creighton team that shoots really well from the free throw line, 78.4% against a Tennessee team that fouls a lot. I think Creighton does some damage from the line. I would have to take +3. And also kind of lean the under. I think Creighton's defense is better than most people realize. They don't foul. They get defensive rebounds very well. And this is a little bit too high of a total, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. Both teams. It's really Creighton's offense versus Tennessee's defense. What's going to prevail? Well, Creighton does, like you said, have the experience advantage with Kalkbrenner and Shireman. And I think that Oregon game – and, dude, Oregon – I bet Oregon, and it was a bad beat, and it was tough. And I also would have hit a nice parlay with a personal one, you know, a four-teamer. But it was just one of those where they kind of finally just – I'm like, okay, let's just finish this out. They finished it out hard. You know, that, and I think that test scared them, and I think they're going to be ready to play this game. I have Tennessee going to my final game. I also have Creighton in a different one, but I believe that Tennessee should be the better team a little bit here. I am not betting on Rick Barnes, though. I am not doing it. You know, if it would have been a chance that Creighton would have got bounced earlier, then you would have liked your Tennessee chances better. But if this gets to 3.5, I will be a player on Tennessee. I'm not laying juice on Tennessee either. So I think that I would make the spread 2. It's at 3. And I believe that I could see Creighton getting through with Kalkbrenner and Shireman and making their shots, because they are that offense, and maybe you do get the crew that really helps them out, Kyle. But hey, this is going to be a wonderful tournament here, wonderful Sweet 16. It's always fun, but it's always fun talking to you as well, Kyle. Where can our listeners get your great information for this weekend?
Yeah, always fun to talk to you. And man, these are going to be great games. So we'll probably be texting each other or something after these games about how wonderful this has gone. Hopefully we get some winning bats as well and gave some good information to the viewers and listeners. But everybody, you can check out my work over at huntersportspicks.com, at Kyle Hunter Picks on Twitter or X. It's been a good March Madness so far. We'll try to finish it out strong.
Yeah, finish it out strong, baby. That's what we're going to do, hopefully. And, you know, we're close to some plays. It just depends upon line movement. So you always got to look at the lines. You always got to get them early when you like them, or wait till very late when the line moves. But, yeah, make sure you check out Kyle Hunter, one of our original guests here. Kyle, I can't wait to text you and watch some of these games. You have a wonderful weekend, and best of luck to you in all your plays.
Same to you.
All right. Well, just to recap the plays I am making officially, Clemson plus the 7 at minus 105, 2.5 stars. We like Alabama first half under 83. We also like Illinois, Iowa State over 145.5. I like that all the way up to about 148. Just depends upon when you get it. And Marquette money line with North Carolina money line around plus 107. I like that for 2 stars as well. Be looking for some articles coming out Thursday, Friday, and Saturday from the Odds Breakers for more NCAA tournament fun. Thank you so much for listening to this show. I hope you enjoy all the big games going up this weekend. Enjoy some baseball and go get some winners.